The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Diane Edelman for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Reader's Digest. Our first article, Sun, Fun, and Plastic Surgery? Americans are packing their bags and heading abroad for more affordable health care. Is that a good idea? By Adam Pure. In the early 2000s, Joseph Woodman's elderly father, David Woodman, unveiled vacation plans that deeply alarmed his son. He was heading down to Puerto Vallarta, he announced, to find a Mexican dentist willing to cut him a good deal on a mouthful of new teeth. Would Joseph like to come along, he asked, for some sun and sand? Joseph recognized instantly that his chances of heading off what seemed to be a potentially calamitous scheme were slim. His father, a 72-year-old retired businessman, had always been a little bit of a geek and very eccentric, Joseph recalls. Weeks earlier, he'd disappeared down an internet rabbit hole in search of deals after an American dentist had quoted him a price of $34,000. By the time Joseph got involved, David had long since emerged with the unshakable conviction that Mexican dentistry was the way to go. So after Joseph's initial efforts to torpedo the plan failed, he did the next best thing. He packed his bathing suit and went along for the ride. The trip proved transformative. David Woodman returned home with an excellent tan and a beautiful set of new teeth, acquired at a savings of $17,000. Joseph, who had recently sold a computer book publishing company, returned with his career second act. Impressed with the quality of dental care in Mexico, he embarked on a two-decade odyssey that has since taken him to more than 300 medical and dental clinics in 35 countries and resulted in the publication of four editions of the book Patients Beyond Borders, Everybody's Guide to Affordable World-Class Medical Travel. Joseph discovered that Mexico is only the closest option, and dental work is just the beginning of what's available. Facelifts, liposuction, hair transplants, gastric bypass surgery, full-body scans, orthopedic procedures, even complex, high-quality, life-saving care for everything from organ transplants to cancer treatments to heart disease. Over the last 15 years, Joseph has had a front-row seat for a medical revolution that, by some estimates, has increased in size by roughly 20-fold since 2007. Before that trip, it never occurred to me that there would be U.S. standards of clinical care, and perhaps even better than U.S. standards, for the patient experience, Joseph says. And then I talked to people about the trip, and all my friends were one or two degrees away from someone who needed some kind of care and were underinsured. It hit a nerve. Thanks to ballooning cost of local health care and the rise of social media, which has made it easier than ever for overseas providers to market their services to patients from all corners of the globe, roughly 24 million Medicaid tourists will cross a national border to receive health care this year, generating up to $40 billion in revenue. Though the exact number of Americans participating is not known, nobody tracks them, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, puts the number in the millions. In the process, this new breed of tourist has saved hundreds of millions of dollars. That's because many of the clients are either uninsured or underinsured. But even if you have insurance, medical care is expensive. A 2020 article in Harvard Magazine states that America has the dubious distinction of having the costliest health care in the world. There are a lot of culprits, like the exorbitant prices of private insurance and prescriptions compared to those abroad. The article also cites U.S. healthcare administrative costs that are about twice as high as in comparable countries. About one-third of healthcare dollars in the United States pay for administration, to deal with issues like insurance claims and other paperwork, stated the article. The results are higher prices. Need a knee replacement? It'll run you about $40,000 in the United States, but it can be had for just $15,000 in Mexico, $13,000 in Thailand, or $8,700 in Turkey, according to Paul McTaggart, founder and CEO of Medical Departures, Inc., a medical tourism agency. How about a hair transplant? The procedure costs $9,500 in the United States. In Turkey, it will run you a mere $2,400. In vitro fertilization costs $14,500 on average in the United States. You can get it for $5,100 in Mexico. Folks can head overseas and save a bundle, says McTaggart, who says he has booked more than 150,000 medical and dental procedures for Americans over the last 14 years, saving them around $201 million. And don't think you're trading quality for savings. These places offer top-notch care. But there is a dark side to this medical revolution. With its rise has come an avalanche of cautionary tales involving disfigurement and even death. In January 2024, the CDC issued an advisory documenting 93 cases where U.S. citizens died after receiving cosmetic surgery in the Dominican Republic over a 13-year period ending in 2022. People take a big risk when they do this, warns Scott Glassberg, MD, former president of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, who says the number of patients who require follow-up when they return home after botched procedures has risen dramatically in recent years. Patients need to do their homework. Woodman credits dentistry with driving the first wave of medical tourism. Many Americans, he notes, lack dental insurance, and many others have plans that pay for preventive care but don't cover bridges, crowns, or root canals. An estimated 65% of U.S. outbound medical travel is for dental work. That part of the industry is so mature that one border town called Los Algodones has more than 300 dental clinics and gets so much business from across the border that it's nicknamed Molar City. The experience of Donald and Dixie Ahrenkiel of Cordion, Iowa, is typical. In the fall of 2023, just a few weeks after paying a local dentist $1,200 to pull all his lower teeth in preparation to get dentures for the bottom row, Donald, 67, lost another tooth on the top and decided it was time to get all his remaining teeth pulled and buy dental implants. Then he learned that a good set of American dental implants would run him around $35,000, far beyond his budget. A retired truck driver, Donald had heard stories about Mexican medical and dental care. A quick online search led him to Dental Departures, the dental arm of McTaggart's medical tourism agency. Donald called and spoke with a representative, who set up a free in-person consultation for him, complete with x-rays, at a dental clinic in the town of Nuevo Progreso, Mexico, just across the Texas border. The dentist had attended an American high school and had several certifications from international dental organizations. Since Dixie also needed some work, she decided to go along and get a consult too. A few weeks later, Donald and Dixie climbed into their Chevy Suburban and made the two-day, 1,200-mile odyssey south to a Quality Inn in Mercedes, Texas. They rose early the next morning and drove to a $4-a-day parking garage on the border, then walked across a bridge, through border control, and into Mexico. The office was a block away. And soon they had settled into a well-lit, air-conditioned waiting room filled with other American and Canadian tourists also seeking dental work. It was as clean as any place you'd ever go in the United States, Donald says. It had an extremely professional staff. After getting digital x-rays with a state-of-the-art piece of machinery, they sat down for the consult with the dentist, who briefed them on their options. They elected to purchase a package deal. For $22,500, he would fashion state-of-the-art implants for each of them. The Arankeels return the next day to have all of their teeth pulled, the first step in the treatment of their three-visit package. After a day to recover, they returned home with throwaway dentures. 3 months later, they made the trip again. By then, their jaws had fully healed, allowing the dentist to take impressions to fashion the implants. On their final trip down, he surgically installed their permanent sets of new chompers. "We had nothing but good experiences down there," Donald says. Matthew Smith was also driven to find alternatives by a lack of insurance coverage, in his case for a medical procedure. Smith, a software engineer from Georgetown, Massachusetts, had struggled with his weight his entire adult life, but diets had never worked for him. So as his 40th birthday approached in the summer of 2023, Smith, who wanted to lose 200 pounds, enrolled in a six-month weight loss program through Massachusetts General Hospital. The program offered laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, a surgical procedure that removes part of the stomach. But Smith's health insurance, provided by his employer, wouldn't cover the procedure. If he wished to proceed, he would have to pay the cost, up to $40,000, himself. And if there were complications, he'd be on the hook for those too. Smith canceled the surgery. In despair, he took to the internet, where he discovered a community of weight loss patients on Reddit and YouTube who'd had similar experiences and found cheaper alternatives by traveling abroad. In the months that followed, Smith made lists of countries, facilities, and clinicians others spoke highly of. Eventually, he narrowed his options down to Mexico and Costa Rica and found a travel agent that specialized in medical tourism. He had a telephone consultation with a Costa Rican surgeon based in Hospital Clinica Biblica, the nation's largest private hospital, and decided to go for it. Smith booked an all-inclusive package that cost $13,000 plus the cost of airfare. On March 3, 2024, he flew from Boston to San Jose, Costa Rica, where he was picked up by a travel agency representative. She drove him to a nearby Marriott Residence Inn, then returned in a van the next morning to shuttle him 20 minutes to the Hospital Clinica Biblica for a preoperative physical and an endoscopy. "Apart from the fact that I was in a tropical location, it could have been a hospital in the U.S., he recalls. It looked very familiar. Not just the layout, but even all the equipment they have." After another half a day spent poolside, Smith returned the next day for the surgery, which went without a hitch. During his 2 nights in the hospital, he learned that every floor had at least one nurse who spoke English. After he was discharged, he spent a week walking around the capital sightseeing, returning for a final postoperative check to clear him for his flight home. After only 10 months, he had lost 130 pounds. "I feel unbelievable," he says. "It's the best thing I've ever done." Many of the worst complications, Dr. Orgill says, involved improperly cleaned liposuction cannulas, the stainless steel tubes inserted through incisions into the stomach to suck out the fat. "If that fat is not cleaned off," he says, "the tubes become breeding grounds for bacteria that can explode in population if allowed to hitch a ride in the warm stomach of a new patient." Dr. Orgill has treated many patients with terrible infections that required the excising of dead tissue and, in some cases, surgery. "That's what stays with me," says Dr. Orgill. "Those are the ones that you wish people would have stayed here and had their surgery done here in a place that's regulated. It's unfortunate because it's preventable." There are plenty of other cautionary tales. In spring 2023, the CDC issued an advisory warning of a multi-state outbreak of fungal meningitis among patients who had received epidural anesthesia at two clinics in Tamaulipas, Mexico. 24 infected patients were identified, and at least 12 died. And the January 2024 CDC advisory that documented the deaths of Americans receiving cosmetic surgery in the Dominican Republic noted that of 24 patients who died in 2019 and 2020, all had received liposuction, and 22, 92%, and also received a gluteal fat transfer procedure, a.k.a. a Brazilian butt lift, where fat from a patient is harvested and injected into the buttocks to augment the body silhouette. There's a lot of things that might be offered by some of the less scrupulous clinics, such as offering to do multiple procedures in a day, that we don't do in the U.S. for a reason, says Julie Thwing, M.D., a medical epidemiologist who leads the CDC Travelers Health Branch's travel medicine team. Performing multiple procedures on one day increases the risk of complications because of prolonged anesthesia time. Lengthy procedures also add undue strain on the patient's heart and can cause tissue trauma, and all that added stress makes it harder for the body to fight off infections. About a quarter of the patients who had complications in Dr. Orgel's study had received multiple procedures at the same time. It's really a lot for a body to tolerate, Dr. Thwing says. Medical tourism stalwarts acknowledge the dangers and say such tales highlight the importance of doing legwork. Most of these cases could have been avoided with the kind of research done by Matthew Smith or the Aaron Keels. For medical procedures, Joseph Woodman suggests that consumers make sure that foreign hospitals or clinics are accredited, preferably by an American accreditation agency. The Joint Commission, which accredits American healthcare institutions, has an international arm referred to by its acronym, JCI, which has accredited more than 1,000 hospitals worldwide. The CDC's Dr. Thwing notes that most reputable international clinics post their outcomes and evidence of their accreditations online and urges consumers to check clinics' licensure and qualifications. The CDC provides resources at cdc.gov/travel, the agency's medical tourism page, including a link to its Yellow Book, which provides general information for international medical travelers. Once a traveler has made the decision to go abroad for medical care, focused preparation is also important. Dr. Thwing suggests travelers bring copies of their medical records so the providers know their background. Patients traveling abroad may also want to get their primary care doctor to review their medical history, conduct a physical, and suggest whether it might be prudent to consult with specialists such as a cardiologist, endocrinologist, or hematologist, to identify any potential health issues that could impact the surgery or increase the risk of complications. Patients should also make sure they have the right kind of international travel insurance and even medical evacuation insurance in case something goes dreadfully wrong. Ironically, given Joseph Woodman's initial apprehension, his father's approach to finding a provider provided a textbook primer on how to do medical tourism right. By the time Joseph and his father arrived in Mexico on that life-changing trip, David had singled out three candidate dental clinics for visits. The first dental practice they visited was in a strip mall. It was a modest family affair with a wife behind the desk and a small, funky sign out front. The fabric on the dental chair was worn ragged, and the equipment had the dull sheen of old metal. It was not quite a mud hut, Joseph recalls, but it was a real hole in the wall. The second clinic was a little better, but the third one dazzled. Back home, Joseph's own dentist was still using film to take x-rays. The third Mexican clinic was equipped with a cutting-edge digital x-ray machine, the first he'd ever seen. Everything was digitized, he says. I was blown away. Since that trip, he has had bridge work in Cancun, Mexico, dental implants in Medellin, Colombia, an MRI shoulder scan in Bangkok, Thailand, and a head-to-toe health checkup, which included blood work and a CT scan in Busan, Korea. But again, preparation is key. The average American usually doesn't do their homework, even with their local doctor. And they should, he says. So it's vetting the doctor, vetting the clinic, vetting the institution. That was Sun, Fun, and Plastic Surgery by Adam Pior. And now a second, shorter article. Your wish has been granted. Seniors are seeing their dreams come true, thanks to a former Olympic athlete, by Eric Raskin. It had been more than 10 years since they'd all been together like this, and the three sisters' eyes filled with tears. The eldest, Ruby Cox, kept warm under a red plush blanket, while her two kid sisters, Ruth Braunham and Rose Schloss, each held one of her hands. "You were the smartest one in the family," Rose told Ruby as they sat side by side. "If I had a problem, I always went to you." They retold their favorite stories. They laughed, and Rose even held five-month-old Leela, the newest member of the extended family. Oh, worth mentioning, Rose was more than a century older than the baby in her arms. And that wasn't the largest age gap in the room. Rose was 101 years of age at the time, while Ruth was 104 and Ruby was 110. These three centenarians were enjoying an overdue reunion, courtesy of Wish of a Lifetime, a nonprofit that flew Rose in from Florida and Ruth from Oklahoma to visit Ruby at her retirement home in Rhode Island. The charity is the passion project of Jeremy Bloom, a former Olympic skier and practice squad NFL player who was impressed during his years traveling the world as an athlete by how much more other countries and cultures seem to respect and celebrate their elders than what he'd witnessed in America. "Sometimes we forget here that their dreams still matter," Bloom, 43, reflects. When he took a trip to Japan for a skiing competition at age 15, Bloom watched an elderly woman walk slowly onto a bus in Tokyo. And he was moved by how many passengers bowed to her and extended a hand to help her. In that moment, a seed was planted, though it took 10 years for the seed to germinate into Wish of a Lifetime. Bloom competed in the 2002 and 2006 Olympics in the freestyle skiing moguls event, as he caught the longest touchdown pass in University of Colorado history as a freshman, as he got drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles in 2006. He kept wondering what else was out there for him. "As a professional athlete," Bloom says, "I had a fear that I would never find purpose in the next chapter, because I would see a lot of great teammates move on and struggle to reinvent themselves." In the summer of 2008, Bloom took steps to form his charitable organization. He wanted to adapt the concept of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which fulfills requests for critically ill children, to fit folks on the opposite end of the age spectrum, some ailing, some not. For the first wish he granted, Bloom arranged for airplane tickets for a woman named Nancy so she could visit her daughter, who was dying of ovarian cancer, and say goodbye in person. "I picked Nancy up at the airport after she spent 4 days with her daughter, and I picked up a totally different human being," Bloom remembers. Nancy had found needed peace and closure in seeing her daughter one last time. Today, Wish of a Lifetime has a staff of 26 full-time employees and some 25,000 volunteers nationwide, and is funded by donations and corporate sponsorships. Most Wish applications are submitted at wishofalifetime.org by a friend or family member. The 3,000 wishes granted so far have all been vetted by a member of the team. A World War II veteran returned to the beaches of Normandy for the first time since D-Day. A woman wrote and performed a play based on her life story. A former Air Force captain got the chance to meet his heroes, the Rolling Stones. Wish of a Lifetime is not Bloom's full-time job. He's currently the CEO of X Games, a series of action sports competitions. But for a long time, the charity was his full-time focus. "It was my 100% all-in," Bloom says. "It was, let's build a program. Let's meet the seniors. Let's change as many lives as we can. That was Your Wish Has Been Granted by Eric Raskin. And now we have just enough time for a couple of very short pieces from Glad to Hear It, Stories to Make Your Day. All smiles. Like babies, puppies can be born with a cleft lip or palate, birth defects in which the upper lip or the roof of the mouth doesn't fully close. Cleft dogs often have other health issues as well, whereas cleft kids more commonly struggle with self-confidence. That's why Lindsay Wiseman of Rochester, New York, started the Cleft Rescue Unit, which cares for cleft dogs and brings them to events for cleft kids. They love that the puppies look like them, Wiseman told the Washington Post, so much so that some of their families end up adopting one of the dogs. Kimberly Rogers brought home a Boston Terrier with a cleft lip last fall for her daughter with the same condition. Rogers says, since we have gotten the dog, she has not asked one question about why she's different. Pint-sized protector. Andre Howard Jr. was driving three of his kids to get donuts last January when a plane suddenly crashed onto the Philadelphia highway where they were driving. As debris hurtled toward their car, he told the kids to duck. The eldest, 10-year-old Trey Howard, covered his little sister to protect her. When he sat back up, he had metal sticking out of his head. Andre rushed to the hospital, where Trey underwent emergency brain surgery. Doctors warned that Trey might not survive, but he did. His first question post-op was whether he had missed seeing his beloved Eagles play in the Super Bowl. He hadn't. Next he asked, Daddy, did I save my sister? He had. A square meal. On her deathbed, Heather Bowers asked for a pork plate from Mama Kwan's. The pork tenderloin served with rice was her favorite dish from her favorite spot in North Carolina. But she lived nearly 6 hours away in West Virginia. Her friend, Mary Simmons, called the restaurant to ask if they would ship the meal to Bowers, a mom of two who would soon succumb to cancer. Instead, Kevin Cherry, owner of Mama Kwan's, packed up a pork plate and hit the road. He drove to Bowers' home to deliver what ended up being her last meal. On Facebook, Simmons praised Cherry's kindness toward her friend, saying, he made one of her last wishes come true. We've run out of time for today's episode. I'm Diane Edelman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reader's Digest is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.